Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Reading from Chapter 2, Text Number 32. Oh yeah, Tulsi Priya was supposed to give class and she requested me to give the class. Okay, please repeat. Yadrichaya cha upapanam svarga dharam apavritam sukinaha kshatriyaha partha labhante yudham idrisham yadrichaya chopapanang svarkadvaram apavritam svarkadvaram apavritam sukhina kshatriya partha labante yudam idrisham yadrichaya chopapanam svargadvaram apavritam sukhina kshatriya partha labante yudam idrisham yadrichaya chopapanam svargadvaram apavritam sukhina kshatriya partha labante yudam idrisham. Yadrichaya chopapanam svargadvaram apavritam sukhina kshatriya partha labante yudam idrisham. Yadrichaya, by its own accord, cha, also, upapanam, arrived at, svarga, of the heavenly planets, dvaram, door, apavritam, wide open, sukinaha, very happy, kshatriyaha, the members of the royal order, partha, O son of Prita, labhante, do achieve, yudham, war, idrisham, like this. Translation. O Partha, happy are the kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. Purport. As supreme teacher of the world, Lord Krishna condemns the attitude of Arjuna, who said, I do not find any good in this fighting, it will cause perpetual habituation in hell. Such statements by Arjuna were due to ignorance only. He wanted to become non-violent in the discharge of his specific duty. For a kshatriya, to be on the battlefield and to become non-violent is the philosophy of fools. In the Parashara Smriti, or religious codes made by Parashara, the great sage and father of Vyasadeva, it is stated, Kshatriyo hi prayarakshan, shastrapani pradandayan, nirjija parasanjedi, kshitang dharmena palayat. The kshatriya's duty is to protect the citizens from all kinds of difficulties, and for that reason he has to apply violence in suitable cases for law and order. Therefore he has to conquer the soldiers of inimical kings and thus with religious principles he should rule over the world. Considering all aspects, Arjuna had no reason to refrain from fighting. If he should conquer the enemies, he would enjoy the kingdom. And if he should die in the battle, he would be elevated to the heavenly planets, whose doors were wide open to him. Fighting would be for his benefit in either case. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Svapanantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raganatang Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitang Savadutang Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitangscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpataruvyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhar Sivasari Ghora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Dhamma Dhamma Hare Hare. Yadrichaya chupappanam svarga dvaram apavritam sukina kshatriya partha labante yudam idrisham. Yadrichaya. Happy are the kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought. Which fighting opportunities? Text 31. Considering your specific duty, Krishna says to Arjuna, as a warrior or kshatriya, you should know that there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles. And so there is no need for hesitation. So we discussed that yesterday, that the kshatriya or the warrior or the king he should fight on religious principles. And we explained a little bit about kshatriyas yesterday, how they are, specifically the example of the king of Jaipur. We discussed that, was explained in the purport. And I can just read the last part, because we didn't have time to finish that. Because here it says, in the text 31, it says, Svadharmam api chafeksha. You should consider your duty as a kshatriya. So dharma also means religion, but it's not really, Prabhupada says religion doesn't really cover it, because, religion maybe can, but sometimes it's also like a faith. You can change your faith from Muslim to Hindu. And dharma is not really like that. Dharma, Prabhupada speaks here about swadharma, is like a specific duty. Like the dharma, to give an example, like the dharma of a kshatriya is to fight. But another example is, for instance, it's an example, so don't take it literally, but the dharma of pepper is that it should be hot. And the dharma of sugar is that it should be sweet. If a sweet is salty, then it's not the sweet. Or another better example even is like water. The dharma of water is that it's liquid. Now it's going to get below zero, and then it's going to freeze. Then it's not water anymore, it's called ice. So dharma of ice is that it's solid, and that is cold. And dharma is liquid, and not as cold as ice, at least. It can be cold, but at least it's not freezing. Sometimes it can be a little bit like freezing, but it cannot go below zero unless it flows very hard, but then still it can't really get below zero. Anyway, the point is that it's an intrinsic value, like the intrinsic quality of the soul is that it has to serve. The only person actually that doesn't have to serve anybody is Krishna. And if you look here, then Krishna is serving his devotee, because Krishna is becoming the, and here you can also see it, Krishna is the driver of Arjuna. Like you have a limousine and then you have a driver. It's like a very menial service. So Krishna is doing like that for Arjuna. So even Krishna, although he doesn't have to serve anybody, he is even serving. He gives a good example, actually. And so similarly, we don't have a choice, actually. We have to serve someone. We either have to serve our body or our family or our dog or our country, or ultimately you have to serve death. You bow down for death, you bow down for old age. There is no choice. So everybody has to serve someone. And that is our dharma. And of course the conclusion should be, this is the conclusion of the whole Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharma prityagya mam ekam saranam braja. You surrender to me, to Krishna. So you give up all your dharmas, all your designations, and you just surrender to Krishna. And then, and this is actually what Krishna is saying already in the second chapter, you should just do what is your duty. Prabhupada would, when people would come to the movement, Prabhupada would say, what would you like to do for Krishna? For instance, Yadurani, she liked to paint. So she started to paint, and she painted the most beautiful paintings for Lord Krishna, about Lord Krishna. So like that, this Varnashram is sometimes a little bit overanalyzed, but it's just, you just do, I don't want to say whatever you like, but you do what comes natural. Like some people, they like to cook, you see, and this comes natural. So in the beginning, it might take some time to figure out what you really like to do or what you're good at. And sometimes, therefore, you need a spiritual master to guide you, or, you know, like some authority that can help you with that. Of course, in ISKCON, usually we say you have to do the needful. That is also there, but you cannot do the needful all the time. I mean, you can, but then you have to be on a very high level. Generally, you want to do something according to your nature. There are two kinds of swadharmas, specific duties. As long as one is not liberated, one has to perform the duties of his particular body in accordance with religious principle in order to achieve liberation. So here Prabhupada also says, unless you're liberated, you should do what is... it says here, he has to perform the duty of his particular body. So also with astrology, you can actually find out according to astrology, if you're like a Sudra, a Vaishya, a Kshatriya, or a Brahmana, or labor class, economical class, political class, or priestly class. And of course, it's in India, it's very much prevalent that this is based on birth, and this is, of course, foolish. Because even though you might be born as a son of a doctor, or the son of a lawyer, that doesn't make you a lawyer. I mean, in the West, it is very clear. But in India, it's not like that. If you're born as a Brahmana, then you're a Brahmana. And they don't look so much at the qualities. But it's all about the qualities. This is what Lord Krishna says in the fourth chapter. Guna, karma, svabhaviga, chatur varnyam. These four varnas, chatur varnyam, mayasrisram, guna, karma, vibhagisha. They are vibhagisha, they are divided by guna, qualities, and karma, by activities. So according to your quality and your activity, that is what you are, ultimately. So it is possible, because, you know, I am born in Amsterdam, but I am twice initiated, or, you know, Brahminical initiation. So it is possible, but you have to qualify yourself. Like if you want to join this movement, then you have to give up four sinful activities. That is already quite a high level. So that's the beginning. And then if you want to take second initiation, then Prabhupada, he formulated that at least you should know something. So you should know something about philosophy. Nowadays it's a little bit made official that you have to have a Bhakti Shastri degree if you want to receive second initiation. So in one sense that's of course a very good thing. So, but the point is that you can qualify yourself to go to a certain ashram and a certain varna. But it's all about the qualification. But of course, some people are more suited for a particular ashram than other people, and suited for a particular varna than other people. So that you have to take into consideration also. Like for instance, if you have a small boat or a small plane, you can't really go over the Atlantic Ocean. You see, it's just nothing you can do. You have a small boat or a small plane, and you cannot force it. You're going to get in trouble. So if you have a particular body which is suited for a particular thing, and you cannot force it either. Like for instance, King Yudhisthira, which is what is the whole war is about, he was born blind. And that's why he couldn't rule the king. Dhritarashtra, sorry. King Dhritarashtra was born blind, and therefore he couldn't rule the kingdom, because it was deemed unfit for a king to be blind, to rule the country. So that disqualified him, and he accepted that. So you also cannot force it. But at the same time, certain qualities can be obtained also. So it has to be taken in the balance. We should look at both things. Like for instance, nowadays we have many children that are born in Krishna consciousness, and of course they're, in general, they're much more qualified than people who join, because they've never eaten meat, they've generally only eaten prasadam. But it's not automatic. You see, they also have to qualify themselves. But of course they have a better chance, and it's understood that they've already been devotees in previous lives. So it has to be balanced. Both things have to be taken in consideration. And ultimately, like I said, we look at the guna and the karma. We look at the quality and the activity, no matter what is the birth. When one is liberated, one's svadharma, specific duty, becomes spiritual and is not in the material bodily concept. In the bodily conception of life, there are specific duties for the brahmanas and kshatriyas respectively, and such duties are unavoidable. Svadharma is ordained by the Lord, and this will be clarified in the fourth chapter. It's already explained that. That is that famous verse, Chaturvanyamaya Sri Sram. Just to give to you the verse, I think it's 4.2, 4.13. Yeah, 4.13. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. Yeah, so Prabhupada translates it that according to the three modes of material nature. So that is tamas, rajas, and sattva, or ignorance, passion, and goodness. So the sudras, they are ruled by ignorance. The vaisyas are ruled by ignorance and passion. The kshatriyas are ruled by passion, and the brahmanas are ruled by goodness, like that. And the work associated with them. So, guna, qualities according to the modes, that kind of qualities you have, and then the karma, the activities that you do. And I was a little bit confused with 4.2. Yeah, 4.2 is about the parampara. So that is also a very, very important verse. And that's how Krishna starts that chapter. But we'll discuss that later. Because it said here, Svadharma is ordained by the Lord. So the point is it has to go through the parampara. I already explained that a little bit. That if you don't exactly know what is your varna and ashram, then you have to approach your authorities. And ideally speaking, your spiritual master, or both. And then like that, you can decide what is best for you. Swadharma is ordained by the Lord, and this will be clarified in the fourth chapter. On the bodily plane, Swadharma is called Varna Ashram Dharma, or man's stepping stone for spiritual understanding. Human civilization begins from the stage of Varna Ashram Dharma, or specific duties in terms of the specific modes of nature of the body obtained. Yeah, so this is quite a difficult topic. I'll just read it one more time and I'll try to explain it a little bit. On the bodily plane, Swadharma is called Varna Ashram Dharma. Varna and Ashram. Varna means, I already explained that, Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmana. Laborer class, economical class, political class, and priestly class. Ashram means Brahmachari, Grihastha, Varnaprastha, Sannyasi. Or student life, married life, retired life, and renounced life. Sannyasi means renounced. Varnaprastha is retired. You gradually retire from marital life. Like that, generally the man and wife, they go to temples, and the children are already grown up, and then like that, and it ultimately it ends in the man just writing letters to his wife, and then even the letters stop. Yes. Huh? Do you? Pension. I don't know if there's pension in the Vedic concept. I don't know how that works. I mean, the idea is in Vedic culture that, of course, a grihastha generally has his own money. So when he's retired, he can still use his own money, I guess. He can, you know, pay a ticket to India and visit different temples like that. Okay. Yeah. Well, sometimes different adjustments can be made, but I can just tell you what is the Vedic model. And sannyas life means completely dependent on Krishna. So then you just are depending on begging. And yeah, generally it's not recommended that you should depend on the pension. Although it's not such a big deal, because, you know, our sannyas is for preaching. So we, the sannyasis in our movement, they use everything for preaching. Mahavadi sannyasis is a little bit more cumbersome, because they feel that they have to renounce everything. They're very, very austere, actually. But for us, I mean, of course, our sannyasis, they're also very austere, but they generally have more access to money and material things, because they engage them in Krishna's service. So it's also a little bit more dangerous. Therefore, also, you know, some sannyasis have fallen away, because, you know, it sometimes get difficult. And it's also, Jananda Maharaj discussed it, there's different reasons, also because they were very young. But this is definitely a factor, that in our movement we're preaching and we attract so much money, and then as a sannyasi you come in contact with that, and it can sometimes be a little bit difficult. Anyway, but that's the idea. So Varna Ashram, Prabhupada calls it man's stepping stone for spiritual understanding. So it's an important part of Krishna consciousness. Human, because, you know, you cannot expect that as soon as you join that you are on the spiritual platform. Human civilization begins from the stage of Varna Ashram Dharma. Yeah, so if the human civilization is not living according to this Varna Ashram Dharma, then it's cats and dog civilization. That's what Prabhupada's saying with other words. Because he's saying human civilization begins from the stage of Varna Ashram. So anything that is below that, it's not human civilization. It's something else. Or specific duties in terms of the specific modes of nature of the body obtained. So again, Prabhupada restates his translation in the fourth chapter, that it's according to the modes of nature that you have obtained, that the body has obtained. Like I said, the astrology, you can find out which kind of varna you're in. Discharging one specific duty in any field of action in accordance with the orders of higher authorities serves to elevate one to a higher status of life. So again, we should charge our specific duty according to the orders of the spiritual master. So the spiritual master, he is expert in seeing what is best, how to engage the disciple in the best possible way. And of course, like I said, Prabhupada many times would just ask the devotees, what would you like to do? So like that, it's not very complicated. But like I said, when there's more advanced disciples, specifically sannyasis, then he would just tell them what to do. You know, whatever needed to be done, he asked them to do that. Of course, it was all done in consultation, but sometimes, rare occasions, Prabhupada would order them, like with Thoma Krishnamurti, because Prabhupada was actually quite angry with him. He said, you go to China. And Thoma Krishna said, I was joking. He said, Prabhupada, I wasn't. And he had to go to China. He was very, very successful. Yeah, he said, actually the story, what happened, he took away all of his duties, all of his powers. He had so many, like Radha Damodar and this. He took away everything. And then Thoma Krishnamurti said, I might as well go to China. And then the next day, Prabhupada called him in the room. He said, I think that was a very good idea, what you said. He said, I was joking. He said, Prabhupada, I am not. You go to China. There was his only alternative. And he did it. It's quite difficult to, you know, surrender like that. I mean, we think, oh, it's Prabhupada. But, you know, we all have a false ego. And at that time, it gets kind of crushed. And it's difficult to... But he did it. He went to China and became very successful. And that will... It serves one to elevate one to the higher status of life. So duty needs to be done. It's very important. Krishna consciousness is all about duty. This whole book actually speaks about just do your duty. Like I would talk a little bit about it, about divorce in ISKCON. But this is also a duty. I read one quote of Prabhupada. He said, yeah, but they hate each other or something. And Prabhupada said, who cares? Just hate each other. But you don't divorce. So, yeah, that's just the Vedic culture. I mean, there's always exceptions. Sometimes Prabhupada allowed it, but then he said, then don't remarry. And then also, even there, Prabhupada made exceptions. He allowed people to get remarried. But my point is that that ashram, any ashram, it should be done out of duty. Take responsibility. You know, either the man takes responsibility for the wife, and the wife takes responsibility for the man and the children. So it's very responsible ashram, actually. And yeah, there's many, many duties involved in that ashram. And like I said here, that will serve one to elevate you to a higher status of life. So any questions on this? It's kind of a big topic. Okay, so I'll just repeat the verse one more time. So considering your specific duty as a kshatriya, you should know that there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles, and so there is no need for hesitation. O Partha, happy are the kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. Yeah, so Krishna says here, happy are the warriors to whom such fighting on religious principles come unsought. So he's there, he's standing on the battlefield, all the warriors are lined up. Any warrior gets very, very happy who sees that. Any real warrior. Not like Prabhupada sometimes would criticize the soldiers in Vietnam. He said that they were not real warriors, because a real warrior, he never turns his back. And he just either dies in battle or he conquers like that. So the warrior, Krishna says here, he's very happy to see such fighting opportunities, because that is his duty, especially when it's done on religious principles. And this, Krishna adds, it opens the doors to the heavenly planets. This is also the point that Prabhupada made at the end of the purport, that, you know, either he wins and he wins a kingdom, or he loses and he goes to the heavenly planets, guaranteed. That's called karma. It's just a fact. You strike a match, it's going to get lit. You put your hand on the heater, it's going to get burned. You fight on religious principles and you die, you go to the heavenly planets. It's automatic. Purport. As Supreme Teacher of the World, Lord Krishna condemns the attitude of Arjuna, who said, I do not find any good in this fighting, it will cause perpetual habitation in hell. And that was what he was saying in the first chapter. I haven't prepared it so much, and these purports are, in Australia, they say chock-a-block full of information. Maybe another time I can give you a little bit of an overview of all the questions that Arjuna gave, because Burjan, he studied this whole thing, and it's quite interesting. But so here, Krishna, he's answering every single question to Arjuna. And so Arjuna was saying that, if we fight and we kill our grandfathers, our family, then there will be unwanted progeny and everything will go to hell. So Krishna is saying, no, it won't go to hell, you will go to heaven. Everything. And if you win, then it will be also good, because then Yudhisthira will be on the throne. So such statements by Arjuna were due to ignorance only. He wanted to become non-violent in the discharge of a specific duty. Yeah, so this is another thing that Gandhi, he was preaching non-violence from Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada was condemning this. He said, how he can preach non-violence from Bhagavad Gita? Every single verse, Krishna is inciting Arjuna to fight, because that was his duty. And like I explained, or tried to explain, that it was based on religious principles, and therefore it was righteous. It was the right thing to do. And sometimes you need to meet violence with violence. There's just no other way. Well, like I was speaking, for instance, about family. Now, if somebody assaults your wife or your children and you don't do anything, you will go to a crazy house. People will lock you up. They'll say, this man is crazy, because this thief came in and he started to assault his children, and he didn't do anything, he was just watching television. That is a crazy person. No, for different situations there is different approaches, but I am trying to explain to you that sometimes violence needs to be met with violence. And you say, you start to argue about non-violence. So I'm giving the example when that sometimes is. There might be other times when it's not applicable. But I'm just trying to explain to you that in this particular example, you should use violence. It's clear, no? No, I'm saying if the thief assaults your wife and children, then you have to protect them, right? You have to meet the thief with violence if he's violent. No, you can go into the details. I'm saying he's assaulting your wife and your children and you're watching television. Is that a sane thing to do or not? It's not complicated, Prabhu. The thief is assaulting your wife and your children, and you are watching the television. Is that madness or not madness? He's chopping them up with a knife. What do you want to hear, How mad do you want to get? It's not difficult to understand, please, Prabhu. It's a simple example. Why you want to complicate this? Assault is clear, Prabhu. Did I say verbal assault? It's a thief, Prabhu. Don't make it more complicated than it needs to be, I'm just trying to give an example that sometimes violence needs to be met with violence. The whole Bhagavad Gita is about this. Why you want to argue about this? Exactly. But there's people, and I think at some stage we don't need police. This is madness. You're always going to need police, because there's always going to be bad people and mad people.
My question is, being the judge, the justice also, like,
That's my point. So if you go to the judge and you say that, you go to a madhouse. They lock you up. Your wife and children are slaughtered by some crazy thief, and you tell that to the judge, he'll lock you up. He'll say, you're an irresponsible person. You're crazy. You need some medical attention. Now, in America, you get a medal if you kill the thief. But here in the West, it's a little bit controversial, but there, even in the West, they, you know, the wife and the children are in your care, and you should protect them. So all this talk about nonviolence, it's just ridiculous. You know, in this context, a warrior needs to fight. We explained it yesterday. Kshatriya means to protect someone else from hurt. Well, if he's weak, then he has to get a gun or something, you know, just improvise. You know, the point is he needs to protect his family. That's the point. And sometimes you have to meet violence with violence, and if you don't do it, then it's considered madness or cowardness, which is what Krishna is accusing Arjuna here, that he is a coward. Or he says here it's the philosophy of fools. So what we're discussing here? You know, you are propagating the philosophy of fools according to Krishna. I'll just read it one more time for your benefit. For a kshatriya to be on the battlefield and to become non-violent is the philosophy of fools. In the Parashara Smriti, or religious codes made by Parashara, the great sage and father of Vyasadeva, it is stated the kshatriya's duty is to protect the citizens from all kinds of difficulties. So there you go. The kshatriyas or the police, like you said, they have to protect the citizens. And for that reason, he has to apply violence in suitable cases for law and order. Therefore, he has to conquer the soldiers of inimical kings, and thus, with religious principles, he should rule over the world. I think that's clear. And then last part, considering all aspects, Arjuna had no reason to refrain from fighting. If he should conquer his enemies, he would enjoy the kingdom, and if he would die in battle, he would be elevated to the heavenly planets, whose doors were wide open to him. Fighting would be for his benefit in either case. Okay. Everything clear? Any more questions? Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, Prabhupada explains that the ashrams are there because it's like a given. You have politicians, you have priests, you have, you know, economical class, you have working class, but it's so-called topsy-turvy. So they're almost all sutras, Prabhupada says. Like, if you look at the political programs, it's generally always based on economical grounds. You vote for me, I will get you more money. This is kind of simplified, but if you look at it carefully, it's like that. So it's just like Vaishyas. They don't have any. There's a few, I think mainly due to this movement, a few parties, like in Holland you have the party for the animals. So it's gradually it's coming. But there's very small party, you know. Very, very small. There's not many people voting on it. And it's for the animals. I mean, what about the humans? You see, so even there it's kind of confused. You know. So yeah, it's all mixed. So that the idea is that this movement is supposed to create brahmanas. people, humans can choose. This is we're on the Bhumanda. This is like the human planetary system, and you can either go down or up. So you have heavenly planets and lower planets. And the greatest danger for human life is to get the animal body. But like I was saying, this movement is actually to create brahmanas, and that we should guide society out of this uncivilized. But you know, that is not so easy to become a brahmana. Well, the idea is that if you become a Vaishnava, automatically you'll be a Brahmana. So we'll concentrate on becoming a Vaishnava, but then automatically you'll get the Brahminical qualities. Yeah, the idea of the parampara system is that it doesn't really change it. Sometimes you add some things. So the varnashram is there, but everyone should chant Hare Krishna. You understand? So it's both. Yeah, you can call it Daivi Varnashram, but it sometimes gets confusing. But the idea is that everybody should serve Krishna. That's the whole idea of Varnashram. And the best way to serve Krishna, at least in the beginning, is to chant his name. That is the clearing stage. Huh? Yeah, no, we're in the beginning, of course. No, not the end. I mean, do you know anybody who can talk with Krishna? But that's the level we want to obtain. We want to just get instructions from Gopinath and Gopinath tell us what to do. That is the level we want to obtain. Then it becomes very clear. But you know, nobody can hear what Gopinath is saying. But therefore we have the books, our spiritual master and all these things. So that means beginning. But so you understand, so you're right. It's very, very nice comment. So both are included, Madhvacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wasn't denying, he wasn't adding. You have to see the age where Madhvacharya was preaching. And it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then Prabhupada, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was mainly preaching in India, and then Prabhupada is preaching on the whole world. So it's clear that ISKCON should ultimately be the advisory board for everyone. But, you know, we have to qualify ourselves. Which is what we will do right now by listening and chanting to Arjamasthami Guru. Or you can also sing. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Gita Sadis ki jai, the Go Premananda. Radhadesh Basis ki jai.